96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. When it comes to how you've handled your money, are there mistakes that you still regret? A new survey about men, women, and money says there are some differences when it comes to how each feels about money mistakes. Well, tonight, we're going to talk about that, and we're going to help you make better money decisions. My guests are money coach and financial advisor Deborah Owens and Dwayne Ellis, financial expert and managing director at The Wealth Syndicate. What are your big money mistakes or regrets? Give us a call. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. The GoBankingRates.com survey says men regret not investing their money. Women regret not saving their money. Deborah, are you surprised at that?
No, not at all. It's interesting. I have found in my wealth coaching practice that men are more risk averse and like hard assets like real estate. So that's not surprising. And then, the other aspect is women not saving enough. And I think particularly with women of color, it's that we have a tendency to take care of everyone else. And sometimes it's not of our own volition. Sometimes it's just need. So we may have young children and we may have aging parents. So we're sort of sandwiched in the middle. And a lot of our discretionary income is going to take care of others.
You said men are more risk averse?
When it comes to the stock market, that has been my experience.
I see.
Men typically are more comfortable investing in hard assets like real estate versus individual stocks and aggressive stock mutual funds.
I see. Well, Dwayne, what is the difference between saving and investing? Some people would say it's the same thing.
Well, that's a very, very good question. And oddly enough, it is not the same thing. When you're talking about saving, you're talking about having assets that you're putting away, but you're not looking to gain. But when you're talking about investing, you're talking about putting away assets with the opportunity to gain more assets. So you need to have a healthy balance between one and the other.
So savings could almost be like they used to do in the old days, putting money under the mattress.
And one of the worst ideas.
Yeah, which is one of the worst ideas ever, of course.
Well, right now, with interest rates being so low and not even giving you a rate above inflation, you may feel like that is happening anyway.
Yeah.
Right. One way of looking at it really is typically if your goal is less than 5 years away, meaning you're going to need access to that money either immediately or in the short term, typically you want to have it in a savings account. Versus if you have a goal of, college savings, retirement, something that is in the future, beyond a five-year or so time frame, then you can look at the opportunity to invest. And the longer that you have, typically the more aggressive you can be just from an investing standpoint.
And I'll tell you this, Harold, also, the worst thing that you can do when you're talking about investing is adding a lot of emotions to it, because we watch the stock market and we watch the certain channels and the lines going up and down, and we're making money one day and losing money the other day. That is the worst thing you can do with investing. You find something you believe in, you get the proper data, and you really stick with it for the long haul. That is normally the best way to think about investing, whether you're talking real estate, whether you're talking about paper assets or stocks and bonds, best way to go about it.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about money mistakes and regrets that you may have about how you've handled your money. What is your biggest money mistake or regret, and how are you addressing it now? Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Dwayne, while this survey suggests that there are some differences between men and women and money and some of the things that they are most concerned about, they're not really that far apart in your work with men and women, as well as couples.
Yes.
Where do you see the big difference?
That's a good question. And I will add that Deborah said earlier about, you know, women being, you know, the caretakers of the house, whether we're talking about children or older parents. That is definitely the case. You know, when I'm dealing with couples, it's normally the wife or the spouse or the female who's asking those questions about college educations. They're asking questions about maybe long-term care or what I need to do with an older parent. While the male or the husband or the spouse, he's asking more about, you know, the safety. You know, a lot of my experience with clients, the man of the household is really asking about safety. He wants to make sure that the money is safe where he's at, where the money is at. And that's the big concern that I see, that I've seen over the years.
Your thoughts about that too, Deborah. Where do you see the big concern between men and women when it comes to money, whether it's individuals or couples?
Well, it's interesting. I think that women have a tendency to really be thinking about, will my money last long enough, right? And so the fact is that women live longer than men, and what they don't want is for their money to, A, to lose it, and B, for their money to run out. And so, you know, as I think about the men that I've coached, it's more making sure that I'm saving enough, that I have, and to Dwayne's point, there is something, you know, something like risk aversion. A tendency, for example, many people in this immediate area work for the federal government. Mm-hmm. And as a result, what I have found, men typically have more of their money in the guaranteed or the G fund than women do, which I found was interesting. However, the other side of that, I think another type of investing has been the life cycle funds or life strategy funds. Sometimes people don't even want to have the responsibility of figuring out, should I be in stocks, should I be in bonds? And they put their funds in the life cycle funds, which basically based on your age, they pick where those different stocks, bonds, that allocation, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look historically, though, the problem with that kind of passive investing is many life cycle funds have underperformed if you had just picked an asset allocation yourself.
And that's, you know, and you make a critical point when you're talking about investing, retirement investing, or whether you are investing for profit. I say that because today, Dwayne, the Dow Jones Industrial Average crossed 26,000 for the first time in history. Now, it did drop back, but symbolically, what does that say to you when you begin to advise the people that you are counseling financially?
It says to me that the larger population is feeling relatively confident about the economy. We have a lot of different views from a political standpoint on what the politics are.
Mm-hmm.
But politics and the stock market are normally two different things.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're talking about the stock market, when you're talking about the Dow Jones, you're talking about companies' balance sheets, and you're talking about the data that supports those particular companies. The larger population feels good about the prospects of those of the economy.
But a lot of people would look at those numbers and say, well, it's too late for me to get in now because it's 26,000 last week. It could be, or this week, it could be 27,000 in 2 weeks. It was 20,000 just a year ago. So I have they missed the boat?
No. And I know Deborah has seen it as well. And we probably showed the charts of the history of the stock market and the history of the Dow Jones. There's no real good point to get in. You just have to get in, participate with companies that you believe in, have a good financial advisor, a good helper, and get in. Because people that, when the Dow Jones was at 10,000 or 15,000, may have said the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they would have been wrong in that particular instance.
I need to take a break, but when we come back, we're going to drill down a little bit more, not only about investing, savings, but we're also going to talk about the mindset of people who have made some financial mistakes, maybe a little gun shy about where to put their money. And if you have any questions or if you would like to share with us your financial mistakes or regrets, we're here and we'd like to hear from you at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. We've got some pre-financial advice.
Washington.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight we're talking about men, women, and money mistakes or regrets. How can you make better money decisions? My guests are money coach and financial advisor Deborah Owens and Dwayne Ellis, financial expert and managing director at the Wealth Syndicate. What are your big money mistakes or regrets? We'd like to hear what you've experienced at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. And if you have any questions about investing or savings and the like, both Deborah and Dwayne are here to answer your questions. One of the other things that comes up in the GoBankingRates.com survey, it talks about concerns relative to debt, number one, and also about people losing money. From your perspective, again, they sound similar, Deborah, but are they kind of one and the same, debt and losing money?
Well, no, I mean, it's interesting that you say that. You know, what I didn't see a lot of in this survey is something that anecdotally I can tell you is that people have a lot of regret specifically around student loan debt, really buying into that American dream that is the ticket to wealth and that six-figure income. And unfortunately, going back to millennials who came out right in the recession, 2009, certainly the job market has turned around. But the fact is, starting salaries are still what they were 20, 25 years ago when students came out without any debt, right? And so I believe that debt, that student loan debt in particular is emotional and something that people are really reevaluating. And I do think it's important that people really think about, as they're financing higher education, whether it be for their children or themselves, that they really think strategically around how they're financing debt. And I really want to speak to the fact that the market is at its highest point and that many people could be feeling FOMO, right? Fear of missing out. You know, is it too late for me? What I do believe that the market is at new highs and that if people will take a look at their portfolio, for those who do have an asset allocation model, meaning maybe they started out with 50% in stocks and 50% in bonds, and maybe they are nearing retirement, that what they may look at now, because the market has risen so high, is that they now have a 60%, 40%. And so one of the things I really want to encourage people to do is to rebalance their portfolio. Because, you know, as someone who's been in the investment industry for decades, I can assure you that the market goes up and down. And certainly, depending on if you don't need the money for 10 or 20 years, yes, it does make sense to be invested in the market. However, I do believe that everyone should have different eggs in different baskets so that when the market does go down, they're not running for the exit.
And two quick points to your question. Point number one talks about, you know, debt and investing. One point that people miss is the cost of not investing. The cost of not investing is something that Deborah mentioned earlier, not keeping up with the rate of inflation. So that means that the dollar you have now will buy less and less if you continue to hoard that dollar under your bed or under your mattress.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got to find ways to, of course, decrease debt. We all want to decrease our credit card spending, you know, those kind of things. But you've got to find ways to make your money work for you as well and stay with and really outpace the rate of inflation if you're going to have a successful retirement, if you're going to have a successful investing future. You've got to find solid ways. And there's so many, you know, that people can get involved in, you know, but you really need a qualified person to kind of help you along the way. That's the key. You cannot do this alone.
Let's talk a little bit about fear. And I'll start with you, Deborah, and a story, because this is so important to our listeners, as well as, you know, the population at large. You know, you've been on this program many, many times. We talk about these issues all the time. A year ago, in January of 2017, after doing a similar program on investing and saving for retirement and the like, one of our listeners reached out to me on Facebook and was asking questions. She was in another part of the country. She did not participate in her company's savings plan, whether it was a 403b or 401k or IRA or what have you, one of those. And I said, you got to get in, you know, now you don't have to take my word for it. You can certainly remember what our experts said. I just looked back at the Dow Jones just as a talking point. A year ago, the Dow Jones was just above 19,000. Now, here we are in 2018. We touched 26,000. That's more than 6,000 points in a year. When she reached out to me last Christmas and I asked her, had she started? She said no.
Well, you know what? I really want to jump in here, because what I am finding, unfortunately, that is not unusual. And part of that is, when you have a lack of financial acumen, and what is very unfortunate is that the school system doesn't do a better job of really teaching people about investing in basic principles, the rule of 72, compounding, and how it impacts your overall ability to build wealth. But where would you learn it at, right? I mean, I received an MBA. It wasn't in finance, but, you know, it was really more concentrated in corporate finance and macroeconomics, right, and economics. And so, you know, what's unfortunate is that there is a lot of shame around not knowing, okay? So I would submit to you that person probably didn't feel comfortable and didn't know the right and questions even to ask with her employer.
That was true. That's very true.
Yeah. And you know, so I think what's really interesting, though, Harold, I have a coaching practice. I don't advise. I teach people. I have a curriculum. And what I've been really taken aback by in the past couple of years that I've been coaching people is just the amount of fear and anxiety and shame there is around not knowing. And it really transcends socioeconomics. So you could be a high school graduate or you could have a PhD, but because you had no exposure to the investment markets, you don't want anybody to know you don't know. And so that barrier is something that we I really want to encourage people. There are all kinds of places to learn. I know that when I refer, one of the reasons I started wealth coaching, because I would refer people to financial advisors. Mm-hmm. And two things would happen. I'd send somebody to Dwayne. Dwayne would call me and say, Jeff, I thought you said Lisa was going to call me, right? And, or either Lisa would call me and say, I just really didn't feel that comfortable. I didn't understand. You know, I felt like he was talking over my head. So it's really that knowledge and confidence gap that has to be closed in order for someone like that woman to feel comfortable calling into her HR's retirement plan administrator or going to sit down with somebody like Dwayne.
And really, when you're talking about investing, it really needs to be demystified. When you're talking about investing in the stock market, what you're really talking about is good companies. Now, unfortunately, in this venue, I can't really name the companies that are coming to mind, but you can think about your favorite coffee shop. When you go into your favorite coffee shop, do you notice that it is full no matter what day you go into it? Do you notice that there's a lot of money exchanged, not only with coffee, but with the little metal cups and the pastries and whatever else people are buying? If you see that in a company, that is a sign of life in that particular company. That's a sign that that company is doing well. Doesn't have anything to do with stocks. It has all to do with the eye test. And the eye test is very, very important when you're talking about investing. So, you know, when people hear stocks, they freeze up. So, you know, when you replace stocks with just good companies, solid companies that make money year after year.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810, talking about money mistakes or regrets that you may have and how you can get past it. Now, Dwayne, you made such a good point. Let me take that one step further. When you're talking about consumers, as we've seen, a lot of people don't have problems spending a lot of money on fancy cars, big houses, handbags, shoes, and all kinds of things, you know, that they can put their hands on.
Right.
But when it comes to investing for retirement or for just for profit, are they again so gun shy because it's hard to put your hands on that? And to that point, maybe less willing to invest in a financial advisor, mm-hmm. because they're paying for your time or Deborah's time, but they don't see the immediate gratification that they would when they buy a new car or the handbag or the shoes.
Well, 2 points. The first point is what I try to do with clients is, I mean, we love to spend. So we take that energy that we normally use to spend on the handbags and the cars and the things that you talk about and actually spend it in the portfolio they open up. So we open up the whole economy in terms of the companies that own these particular things, and we kind of do a spending spree, meaning we look at certain companies, your favorite coffee company, your favorite convenience store, you know, and we start to spend with the same kind of energy that you would in the mall. That kind of breaks down the fear factor of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as Deborah said, it's all about education. It's all about being with the proper financial advisor that understands, you know, the markets and understands your goals and objectives and what you're trying to get done, your tolerance for risk, and how long you want to invest or your time horizon. When you put that ingredient in there, that actually gives you the right way to go when you talk about investing.
Did I strike a nerve when I said handbags and shoes, Deborah?
Well, you know, here's what I know to be true, that part of what I would say is this, is that I think the consumer is a misnomer in some cases. One of the things I know about particularly women of color is that women are more savers than they are investors. And so one of the things that I have observed is that it's just like anything. Typically, women are the CFOs of the household, and so they're comfortable in that role of shopping and managing that money. However, when they gain the knowledge that they need, they shift, right, from that earner, right, of income to that owner or shareholder. And they begin to understand, you know, basically how the financial markets work. And that same, as Dwayne said, energy that they spent being set CFO of the household, that's the same skill set you need to be a knowledgeable and successful investor. So, you know, that's the point that I would make. Again, I really believe it's a knowledge and confidence and gap. And when people gain that knowledge, it's amazing what happens. Because at the end of the day, ignorance is expensive. And I think that's what Dwayne is alluding to.
Mm-hmm. I need to take a break. When we come back, I want to pick your brains about what kind of aha moment do people need when it comes to their money to move from where Deborah just described to knowledge, from ignorance to wisdom about money. We'll be back in just a moment. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We'll be back in just a moment.
I'm going to use that one too.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're talking about money mistakes and regrets, how you can make better money decisions. Before the break, I was talking about what are the aha moments that can make someone move from financial ignorance to financial wisdom, to making better decisions. Dwayne, I'll start with you. I'm sure there are different kinds, but, you know, what's the thing that makes, you know, some of the people that you are servicing say, guess what happened? And now all of a sudden they're ready to become experts.
Right. Most of my clients are like that. They, mm-hmm. Some of them are probably listening right now. I'll give you two. I'll give you the not so good one and the good aha moment.
Mm-hmm.
The not so good aha moment is somewhere around 50 to 52, when a person kind of realizes, you know what, I've got to start planning for retirement, but I have not started. And I've got to see someone. Over the years, people like myself and Deborah have been calling and calling. It just wasn't the right time. But somewhere between 50 and 52 or 53, they figure out, I've got to do something.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, that's the negative aha moment. The positive aha moment is what most of my clients see. It is not, and I guess this is a secret. It'll get out now. Investing in the markets is not as hard as it seems. It's a lot of common sense that's involved when you're talking about successful investing.
Explain that.
Meaning it was actually going towards that example, and I'm really handicapped in terms of, I would love to name the companies to put more texture to it. But, you know, if a company, first of all, if you're using a company,
mm-hmm.
If you're giving a certain company, if you're giving a certain phone service, $200-some-odd a month for cable and phone hookup, you know, you're not the only one. You know, if you're buying a certain food or a certain carryout food and you go there and the lines are wrapped around the corner, you know, those are indications that may be something that you can be a consumer in, but you can also be an investor in. And I think Deborah mentioned it earlier. That's the mindset that people of color have to get into. Yes, we're going to all consume, but there's another half of where your money should be going. There's an investment piece that we got to get off the sidelines and we've got to be a part of,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that, you know, when it becomes demystified and when it becomes easier, and really when you're with a decent financial advisor, he makes it simple for you to understand and digest. And that's the aha moment. Wow, this is simple. This makes perfect sense.
What about you, Deborah? Your thoughts about an aha moment to take someone to that next financial level?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I recall a woman who had been on a webinar, and my first conversation with her, her aha moment was, she was like, wow, I had just gotten comfortable sitting in my fear. And I thought, you know, I mean, listen to that imagery. And here she had someone tell her at a very young age that she would never be good with numbers. And so she became a nurse and avoided them her entire career. And what I said to her, I was like, you're a nurse oncologist. I mean, all of those different prescriptions and amounts that you have to give up, you're a wizard at numbers already. So I want to acknowledge that for far too many people have a phobia around numbers, and what they don't realize is they're using that in some capacity in every day. And then the other aha moment, what I would say, getting to that 50-52, the fact is that we are living longer, and what 50 and 52 was 20 years ago or 30 years ago versus what it is today, it is never too late. And so on the positive side, what I have seen is people go from having nothing in their retirement to taking advantage of the retirement catch-up provision, which after 50 allows you to put more in your retirement account, in fact, almost $24,000, really making their future a priority and making that shift and understanding that the main priority is their financial future. And I've seen people go from having zero to six figures in less than 5 years. It does take dedication. You know, it may mean that you got to get a side gig so that you can put more away and have more discretionary income. But as with anything, anything you focus on expands. And so that's the good news. That's what I want to tell people is I don't care where you are today, that the decisions that you make for your future today, that you can change it, and don't ever feel like it's too late for you. That's what I don't like for people to say, because it's never too late. But what it is going to take you is to changing your current behavior so that you can have a different outcome.
Right. And see, that brings me to my next point, Duane. Someone may be listening to this conversation and then they say, okay, I've got this $10,000 making my mattress lumpy. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I've decided that I'm going to jump in into the stock market, and they put the stock market in. They talk to, you know, to the Duane Ellis's of the world or the Deborah Owens of the world, the financial advisors. They go in, they've got a nice little portfolio, little stock, little bonds, mutual funds, the whole bit. And then, you know, 2 months down the road, after seeing some spectacular growth as we've seen last year, mm-hmm. then we see a correction, mm-hmm. meaning that the market drops. And then they're calling you and they are pulling your hair out. Mm-hmm. You know, how do you help folks deal with anxiety about the money? Because it's a fear again.
I love that.
Yeah, I love that question too.
You know, here's what you have to do. Any advisor or any, you know, one of the things I love to do is to give the worst case scenario. And I really want to encourage folks who are listening, if you want to attend free webinars that are educational around this sort of thing, go to my website, DeborahOwens.com. and just register, and you'll get notification of free webinars. But one of the things I try to do in those educational webinars is really give people context and perspective and helping them understand that if you have 80% of your investments in stock, then you have to be prepared to see your money go down more than 40% in 1 year, because that's the worst case scenario, versus if you have your money at 50% stocks and 50% bonds. Typically, historically, you've seen that type of portfolio go down about 30%. And so the question becomes, okay, which one of those are you going to become more comfortable with, right? And so what it allows people to do is to anticipate that when that market does correct, they've already been exposed to the fact that, oh, yeah, I know that was going to happen. I learned that, or my advisor told me that. And now I know I'm not going to need this money. And so if I have more money, I need to continue to invest. And if you allow people and give people the insight and knowledge that they need, they won't go running for the exits because they anticipate something like this happening.
Dwayne, same question. How do they address money anxiety?
It is addressed right in the first meeting. You have to manage expectations about what the market can do and what it can't do. It cannot make you seven figures in a day. It's not designed to do that unless you have nine figures that you've put in possibly. So you've got to manage expectations right up front. You've got to get into people's goals and objectives, time horizon, risk tolerance. You've got to clarify what their goals are and where they're trying to go. The more work you do before you actually start investing, the better the ride is. I just don't get that call. This isn't wood here, but I love to knock on something. I just don't get that call because I really take time to educate my prospective clients on what the market is, what we're trying to do, what you're trying to do, and match the investment with them.
Is there a reverse to that? And I'm speaking specifically of 2017, where perhaps you may have picked up and advised someone in late 2016 and they put some money in and things are just kind of skyrocketing. Mm-hmm. Are there calls that you get where they're saying, okay, what's going on? That kind of reverse anxiety where they're expecting something bad to happen when all is good so far.
Actually, I couldn't reach my clients at all the fourth quarter, really. To be honest, I wanted to talk to them. You know, these are the times we actually would love to talk to you when things are when the sun is shining.
Why
I couldn't
is
reach
that?
Them. They were happy. I mean,
why is it that you need to talk to them when things are going well?
To manage expectations.
Okay.
And to get them ready for what may or may not be a correction down the road. To me, my style, you know, is constant education.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, in the good times and in the bad times, in particular in the good times. Because when you're really successful at investing, it's really a counterintuitive thing. What you think is right is normally not right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it'll take us another hour for me to really explain that. And I go into some things, and like Deborah said, I've got a couple of educational things out. Actually, every Tuesday, I'm on Facebook under my name, Dwayne Ellis, where I kind of talk to folks about, you know, more in depth about what we're talking about. And I've got like three projects coming out this year also to really get the word out. Because, again, we should not be sitting on the sidelines, you know, when the markets are doing what they're doing right now.
I want to let our listeners know also that the information to find out more about Dwayne Ellis and Deborah Owens will be on WHUR.com this evening, as always, so that you can, you know, have an opportunity to find out about the kinds of philosophies, the financial philosophies, and the kind of help that they may be able to provide. So certainly we want to put that information out there on our website. Should be there a little bit after 8:30, as it is every night. Deborah, thank you so much for sharing with us tonight. Happy New Year. Good to talk to you. And Dwayne Ellis, thank you for coming in. I appreciate
it. Thank you, sir.
All right.
Likewise, Harold. Thanks for having me on again.
Absolutely. That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Tuesday, January 16th, 2018. I'm Harold Fisher. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now, stay tuned for The Connection.